Recording.
Welcome back, strong body, stronger mind family. Welcome to episode 17 and episode 2 of this prep series.
What's up, guys? Today you've got me, Chelsea Stewart, and my lovely head cold. So if I'm coughing a lot, please forgive me.
We're riding the struggle bus today, this morning, both of us.
You forgot to introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Celeste.
So as you guys know, we are in a prep series. So, you know, we're coming to you real time from Celeste's in prep. Celeste, you are now how many freaking weeks out? Like four?
4 weeks tomorrow. No, four weeks on Saturday. Today's
4 weeks on Saturday. And honestly, you guys, like, I think the biggest reason why we're trying to do this series obviously is to provide education, but to provide real education. You know, that is our whole like idea behind this podcast, is we're just going to be honest with you guys. We're not going to sugarcoat things. We're just going to tell you how it is. And Celeste is 4 weeks out from her show. She's been prepping for a long ass time, and it's a struggle, and it can definitely take a toll on your everything.
we are definitely feeling 4 weeks out.
Yeah. So do you want to kind of give people like a little bit of an update to like how you're feeling and how things are going, you know, how you're feeling physically and mentally and stuff? I think it's nice to just kind of update people on how, you know, we're doing too.
Yeah. So physically, we are making progress here. We still got a little bit of ways to go in terms of conditioning or leanness. So far this prep, I've lost 37 pounds. So that's wild. definitely feeling it. But yeah, things are moving. We are pushing for these last 4 weeks. This is when, you know, we just gotta dig deep and, you know, food gets low, cardio gets high, name of the game. Mentally, you know, we have good days and bad days, you know, just like any season that you are in, you're going to have your good days, you're going to have your bad days. And it's kind of just taking it day by day and letting yourself feel what you got to feel and then moving on, because we only got so much time in the day. So if you just continue to dwell on your, I feel like shit, then you're just going to continue to feel like shit, and you're going to feel like shit regardless. So you might as well just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
That's been like a game changer. It's like last prep, I would always try to just like fight the tiredness and like fight the feeling like shit. Now you just kind of let it happen.
Yeah.
And ride.
That's like the biggest thing I feel like that we both probably give our clients when they're dieting, is like, stop trying so hard to avoid feeling hungry, you know, avoid feeling tired from time to time. It's going to happen. There's nothing.
You're going to be hungry. You're going to be tired. You're going to not have motivation every single day. Instead of trying to fight it, you know, you just kind of embrace it, fall back on, you know, just kind of go into robot mode. Like your plan's there. You just got to follow it.
Just get it done. Get it done. I think the coolest thing that prep taught me personally was that you don't have to be like super stoked every single day to have a good workout. Cause I think for a long time I used to feel like I had to, and I would like over caffeinate myself or like try to, you know, have the perfect pre-workout that just had me like hyped up. And you see all those people on like Instagram in their cars, like jamming out the music before they get in the gym. And I'm like, I got to feel like that. And prep really taught me like, you absolutely don't have to feel like that every single time. You just have to go in, get it done, and progress yourself. You know, that's all you can do every single day. Nobody feels super great, prep or not prep, every single day.
Yeah, literally yesterday before my workout, I honestly don't even remember. It was a blur. I don't even remember. I don't remember driving to the gym.
Yikes. Zombie mode. But you just get it done. And again, you know, I really want to hone in to you guys that like, everything we're talking about in this series and also everything Celeste is going through right now is an extreme for a sport. It is not how you're supposed to feel when you're just dieting. Now, will you feel hungry when just dieting? Sure. Yes. You know, your body's going to not want to be in a calorie deficit. Nobody's body wants to be in a calorie deficit, but the extreme levels of hunger and zombie mode and, you know, not being able to function throughout the day, you know, as you should, that's not normal. And that should not be something that you're like expecting or even accepting while in a regular old, you know, diet.
Yeah. And we'll talk about like post show in the post show episode, but it's definitely, you know, there is life after prep, and I'll definitely be talking about like transitioning seasons and things like that. Because like Chelsea said, this is not sustainable. The, you know, output that I'm doing and the input that I don't have in terms of food is not something that, you know, we would ever put any lifestyle client on or anything like that. So it is a very, very temporary sacrifice, a temporary struggle for a very specific goal. And we have a very, you know, specific plan to come out of it after the fact.
Yeah. So if you guys are interested too, we can definitely do an episode on the difference between like a competition prep diet and a lifestyle diet and kind of, you know, the differences in what the diet looks like, what cardio looks like, what a timeline looks like, what an end goal looks like, when to stop dieting. I know that's a really big one that people have. Cause like with prep, when do you stop dieting? Well, when you reach the goal, you know, and like things start to, like, sometimes people have to pull out of prep cause their body's just not having it. And that's one thing, but you know, there isn't a like, oh, we just stop dieting because we're done. You know, like we stop when we're stage ready.
Yeah. If this was a lifestyle diet, I would have been done like 2 months ago.
Yeah, like 20 pounds ago. Yeah. So today, for today's podcast, we're going to be talking about a very big question that people have. Are you ready to compete? How do you know when you're ready to compete? This is a huge question that I got a lot of whenever we even just mentioned doing a prep series. And even when, again, the whole reason we even started this whole prep series is because with Celeste being in prep and then me prepping clients and, you know, recently it's the season of bikini and bodybuilding competition. A lot of people have been asking us like, how do I know if I'm ready to compete? How do I know if I'm even someone who can compete? And so we wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. So we have, there's like a whole laundry list of prerequisites that I think are very important to, you know, kind of check off before you even consider competing. So yeah, we're going to just jump right into it. So first one is just like physically, you know, bodybuilding is about building your body. And so I think a lot of people have this idea that you can just start a prep like whenever. However, you need to make sure that
you get into fitness and you go into prep. Like that's not usually how it's going to work out for you. It's not just dieting. It's building the body first and then dieting.
Exactly. So depending on the division that you are competing in, you need to make sure that you have the, you know, muscle mass to be competitive, because when you diet down, you see how much little muscle that you have. And so if you don't have the muscle mass and you just diet down, you're just going to look small. You're not going to look, you know, like the bikini competitors or figure competitors or whatever division that you are in. You're not going to, you know, look like what you might see on Instagram. Because those people have, or majority of them, have been, you know, lifting for years before that. They have put in the time during their improvement seasons to build the muscle that is going to make them competitive on stage when they do go into prep.
Yeah. So we are kind of saying that like a lot of people, I think, you know, bodybuilding specifically, we even talked about this last week in our podcast, how bikini has gotten very popular. And I think a lot of people have kind of fallen into thinking that, you know, I can just jump into fitness out of nowhere and just prep for a bikini show. And while yes, bikini is going to be the division that has the least amount of muscle of, you know, all of the divisions that you could possibly compete in, bikini competitors by no means don't have muscle. Just, you know, for reference, I've been lifting weights for like 7 years. I'd say I've been lifting weights with like actually knowing what the heck I'm doing for like 3 years or, and, you know, purposefully eating enough food for 3 years. And when I stepped on stage, I was visually so much smaller than everybody else. I did not have enough muscle tissue. So a big question people ask is like, how do I know if I have enough muscle tissue? And my best piece of advice is you have enough muscle tissue when you have more than you think you have, like you think, or more than you think you need. So you need to realize when you diet down for a bodybuilding show, you are going to lose muscle tissue. Now, hopefully you won't lose a lot of it, but especially if you are going to go through a prep completely naturally, you are going to lose some muscle tissue. There's just no way around that. So you need to have more muscle than you think you need in order to be competitive. And the best way to kind of know this is go and look at what the competitors are looking like, you know, look at what the girls who are winning shows or the guys who are winning shows are looking like. How much muscle tissue do they have on them? And then recognize the fact that that's how much muscle tissue they have on them after 16, 18, 20, 24 weeks of dieting.
Yeah. And I would also recommend, you know, going through some type of, you know, lifestyle cut before you go into a prep, just so that, you know, you can see, you know, go through a building phase and then go through like a little lifestyle cut, see where you're at, and, you know, then build back up from there so that you can, you know, build upon your weak points. And then consider, you know, going into a competition prep, because then you can kind of see, you know, what you might look like when you do diet down. You can be like, okay, you know, I have a substantial amount of muscle tissue. Like, I could probably, you know, be competitive. Or you can be like, wow, I'm really freaking small. I need more time to grow.
Yeah, which is definitely the case for me. I, you know, got very freaking small and, you know, was very obviously too small on stage. So, you know, we'll kind of go into, and Celeste looks like she's got hella muscle. So we'll kind of go into a little bit more about like the benefits of having a coach in a little bit, but I wouldn't recommend anybody just preps for a show without a coach. Now, there are some people that can, some more experienced athletes who can prep themselves, but when you're prepping for a show, oh my gosh, the way you view yourself, no matter how healthy of a body image you have, becomes very distorted, because you're always going to be so in your head, I'm not lean enough, I'm not doing enough, I need to do more. And you can drive yourself into the ground and end up making yourself look like shit, to be honest, without a coach. So a really good way to know too, if you have enough muscle tissue to start a prep, is to have a coach who can tell you, a coach who knows what an appropriate amount of muscle tissue looks like on a non-competition lean body. Ask them, do you think I have enough muscle tissue? You know, they may say, hey, let's take you through a little bit of a lifestyle cut and see what your shape looks like a little bit. But they may be able to just kind of look at your physique and say, yeah, you definitely have the tissue. We can start a prep. But I would definitely recommend having a coach who has gotten to know your body, has taken you through an off season, has seen what your strength looks like, what your, you know, muscular development looks like, before just jumping into a prep head first.
Yeah. Like, I was with Nick for an entire, we went through a lifestyle cut and we went through a building phase before I started my first prep. And then we went through a whole nother off season before I started this prep. So definitely working with a coach for a prolonged period of time. So one, they can learn your body. Two, you can, you know, just develop that relationship, because like Chelsea said, prep, when you are in prep, your mental view of yourself definitely shifts, and being able to have a coach that you have a good relationship with, who one can be objective with you when it comes to your progress and what you need. But two, you can just, you know, have that support through the harder times. Very, very important to have that coach client relationship before you even start the prep process.
Yeah. So we can kind of skip around a little bit. I think another really big important thing, which was not going to be my number two, but I think it leads really well into it, is do you have a good support system? You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have like a bunch of fitness friends around you. You know, I think a lot of people get in their head about like, well, none of my other friends compete, so I don't have a support system. It doesn't have to be that serious. I mean, you can even have a support system through like the internet. You know, like, we have our entire Team NK, all of the athletes on my roster, on Celeste's roster, on Audrey's roster, on Sean's roster, on Chelsea's roster, on Nick's roster, the entire Team NK family to back us up, you know? Obviously, I'm very blessed that I also have a boyfriend who is very into bodybuilding, much more so than me. And so we even have a roommate who's into bodybuilding. And most of my friends are into fitness, but that is not the case for everybody. And so just having a coach who is definitely a huge part of your support system, somebody that you can turn to and to who understands what you're going through, because quote unquote, normal people who don't compete, they're not going to understand why you can't just eat an apple when you're hungry. It's a fruit. It's healthy. Why can't you have it? They don't get that. Yes, it's a fruit, but also I'm eating 50 grams of carbs today and I can't have, you know, the 20 grams of carbs that apple has. Like they just, it's not comprehensible to people that are not in the world. So that support system is so important. And even if they don't understand it, you know, if you have a significant other or parents that don't understand it, if at the very least they understand it's important to you and they're willing to help you, that is going to be so beneficial for you beyond anything else.
Yeah. Especially like as somebody who, you know, during my first prep, I lived at home with my parents and, you know, obviously they support what I do, but they don't understand it, right? They don't understand why I went to the gym twice a day or why I was, you know, eating all these egg whites and doing all this extra cardio. But, you know, they were still supportive. And the more that I, you know, was in this lifestyle, the more that they understand that, you know, this is just what I do, what I enjoy. And now, you know, my mom's planning on coming to my show to support me.
All the way in Florida too, which I feel like needs to be noted. It's not like she's just driving down the street. She's hopping on an airplane and flying to your show.
She's treating it like a little vacation. She doesn't, she's off for like that whole week. And she's like, I'm making a vacation out of it. But you know, like Chelsea said, if you don't have that in-person support, having a coach or having a team or Instagram is huge. Even, you know, before I started prep and was just getting into like the fitness lifestyle, having, you know, that Instagram community of people who were doing what I was doing or similar to what I was doing, it's so, so helpful to just not feel like you're the black sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, luckily I feel like, you know, fitness and health and all of this has become a lot more commonplace, but even so, as much as we think it's commonplace because we surround ourselves with it every day, it's really still kind of not the norm per se. So I love it. I have clients like who will make, you know, fitness Instagrams. Yeah. And I love it when they do that because it's a support system. And again, support systems are important regardless of prep or not prep. You know, if you're just trying to get into fitness, and we did like a whole podcast on feeling alone and stuff. And that was, you know, a really big tip that we gave, but man, I mean, let me tell you, you know, you get to the end of prep and I just remember vividly like sitting on the couch thinking about how I needed to do my dishes and wanting to cry because the energy that I knew it was going to take to get up and go wash my dishes was so overwhelming to me. So just having a boyfriend who was like, it's fine, I'll do the dishes, it literally like made my day so much easier. And we'll get into kind of how time consuming prep is, having somebody to help you out, to help make sure everything gets done, because it is, you know, John and I have to take turns with who is the person that's going to be keeping up with things a little bit more, because, you know, as he gets deeper into prep, he's in prep right now, he's not going to have as much time to cook and clean and do all that stuff. So having somebody to help you out is very helpful.
Yeah. As somebody who does not have a roommate, I wish I did.
You'll have us though, whenever you move here. So you'll have neighbors that care.
It's okay. Can you come over and do my dishes for me?
But even just someone to vent to, I mean, how many times have you and I just like had text conversations when either one of us is having a hard day and just having someone be like, yep, I totally get where you're coming from. You know, I totally know how you're feeling. You're going to get through it. And just, it's just so like, simple. It just helps. Yeah. To just know that like, you're not crazy for feeling.
Yeah. Cause you feel crazy.
You do. Like, what is wrong with me that I can't take a walk without being tired? Or, like, why am I crying? Because my oatmeal exploded.
Oh my gosh.
It's an emotional experience.
When you have a very rare high carb day and it overflows, that shit gets
yeah. It really does. It's very, very upsetting. So support system in place is another really big, important one. So the next thing I think is really important to talk about, you know, what was meant to be my number two, we talked about having enough muscle mass and kind of alongside that, you know, are you eating enough? And we talk about this a lot when it comes to just going into regular diets. You know, we get a lot of women coming to us, you know, hey, I'm eating, you know, 1400 calories a day and I want to lose body fat. And it's like, well, how much less food can we eat? You know what I mean? Realistically, how much lower can we go? And while in prep, yes, you will likely have to go lower than what is healthy, you know, to get to the extreme level of low body fat percentage that you need, you still don't want to eat a prep maintaining your weight on 1400, 1500, 1600 calories a day. You need to be eating enough food to justify going into a bigger calorie deficit. And you need to be eating enough food for long enough time that your metabolism has adapted upwards to that. So it will be responsive when you go into that dieting phase.
Yeah, I think a misconception is that, you know, when you're reverse dieting or building, you know, you can just reverse up to this intake and then immediately start cutting back down. But you do need to spend some time at that higher intake for your body to get adapted to that higher intake. So that can become, there we go, your maintenance intake.
Yeah. You think about it, like we don't eat one day, you don't one day go over your macros and suddenly your metabolism is regulated. Like, yeah. Like people take cheat meals or free meals or refeeds. And we don't just suddenly, you know, you accidentally eat say 1,000 calories over your target for the day. Your maintenance calories aren't now 1,000 calories higher. It doesn't work that way. Truly the only way to improve and increase your metabolism is to A, eat enough food long enough that your body starts to expect that amount of food. And now it's going to say, oh, this is how much I get on a regular basis. Cool. This is how many calories I will start outputting. But also you have to build the muscle tissue there, and you're not going to build the muscle tissue going back to, you know, number one, are you ready to compete? If you're going to have enough muscle tissue, you better have been eating enough food to build that muscle tissue for more than, you know, a month.
Yeah. And kind of on the flip side of that, you know, with adaptive metabolisms and, you know, what to expect going into a prep, just because, you know, your food gets to a decent spot or a high spot in your off season doesn't necessarily mean that in prep you're going to be able to, you know, diet on 2000 calories, right? Not for majority of people, your food's going to get lower than you think it will. And that is just your body being adaptive. Because as you know, start to cut down calories, your body gets more efficient at surviving on that lower amount of calories. So you do have to, you know, continue to go lower. And some people have more medaptive, that's a new word, medaptive metabolisms.
Hey, it works.
Adaptive metabolisms. Some people have more adaptive ones than others. So, yeah. You know, some people do have to eat a little bit less than others, but that's kind of, you know, just your body doing its thing. You're not broken just because you have to eat, you know, a low amount of food. It just kind of is the name of the game at that point.
Yeah. I think that would be a really good topic that we can talk about is like, I know we're going to do a podcast on, you know, the client perspective and the coach perspective. And I think that that's something we can really dive into is like adaptive metabolisms, because that's a big, we could even do a whole podcast on that. Honestly, I know that's a big, it's like a hot topic, you know, in the fitness industry is all these people who can just eat so much food, you know, in their off seasons, but it's a blessing and a curse to have an adaptive metabolism for sure. So if you guys want us to talk a little bit more about that, we definitely can, but regardless of adaptive metabolism or not, if you are maintaining your weight on, you know, a low amount of food and on anything under 2000 calories is a low amount of food, you guys, regardless, you know, contrary to popular belief, it is, you know, if you're maintaining your weight on less than 2000 calories a day, you are going to have to probably go sub 1,000 calories a day, just being completely honest, in order to get stage lean. And your goal should be to try to avoid that, you know, but you want to try to avoid, you know, eating 800 calories a day, ideally, you know, from a health perspective. So, speaking of health, I think the next really important item is, how is your health? You know, how is your hormonal health? How is your gut health? You know, have you had a consistent period? Do you have a consistent period for at least 3 months, hopefully significantly longer than that? You know, I'd like my clients to have had a consistent period for, you know, at least 6 months, ideally a year. You know, I'd like you to be pretty regular here. I would want to get blood work done and see what our hormones are looking like, because you can have a consistent period and still have some fucked up hormones. You know, what's your thyroid looking like? Are things functioning appropriately? Does every single food bloat you? Are you constipated all the time? Because I can tell you right now, you go into a prep with any of these issues, you're going to come out of that prep significantly worse than you started.
Yeah. Yeah. Prep.
Yeah.
Doubt. Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, even if all of these things are in a really good place, there's a good chance you're going to come out of a prep with some of these not in such a good place. So you see a lot of people take these like 2-3-4 month off seasons. None of your metabolic, hormonal, digestive, thyroid issues that may have developed, may not have developed, but likely did kind of downregulate a little bit in prep, have probably not been repaired. So I highly recommend, if you are somebody who has competed before, give yourself the time to make sure your health is in check before going back into another prep, or you're just going to end up spinning your wheels and your prep's probably just going to get harder and harder and harder, you know, on your body. It's going to be harder and harder to recover as well. And you will be more likely to rebound after your prep.
Yeah. Even just from personal experience, during my first prep, before my first prep, I've always had a regular cycle. But I did lose it during my first prep.
It's not uncommon. Like, I don't want to scare people that, like, if you lose prep, you lose your period during prep, you did it wrong. Honestly, I hate to say this, but most people lose their period during prep.
Yeah.
And for some amount of
time. You know, once I started reversing, I got it back within 2.5-3 months. And, you know, it was regular all through my off season. And, you know, this prep, I lost it again. And I am planning on reverse dieting to get it back. And, you know, while yes, I'm taking thyroid support supplements from New Ethics, Coach Chelsea.
Yes, I take that as well.
to, you know, support the downregulation of, you know, the hormones, the downregulation of hormones that happens, you know, we still have work to do after the fact to get things back to a normal place.
Yeah. I mean, on the flip side, I literally only lost my period the month of my show. And I honestly just attribute that more so to me being super anxious about my show. Yeah. I got my period back immediately. So I missed 1 month of my entire prep, but at the same time, I still did go and get blood work done because I did have some other things going on. Big sign that thyroid's not functioning well is you don't sweat. So I was just straight up not sweating no matter how hard I was working. Very strange feeling. Ended up getting my blood work back. And even though I only lost my period for a month, it was already regular on the dot. I get my period every 28 days without fail. My hormones are jacked. Like, my hormones suck. And so just saying, I highly recommend getting blood work done, even if you do have a consistent period, because it doesn't always mean everything. You know what I mean? I feel like we all think our period is like the number one, you know, health marker. And while it plays a huge role, if you don't have it, it's a really big sign something's wrong. You could still have issues even if you have it consistently. So get blood work done. Make sure you are healthy first.
Yeah. And then, you know, going into, you know, the other aspects of health, we can talk about mental health. Making sure that's in a good spot before you go into a prep, because prep is just as mentally and emotionally taxing as it is physically. And, you know, if you are struggling with your relationship with food, if you are struggling with your relationship with exercise, if you are struggling with your relationship with your body, prep is not going to fix that. If anything, it is going to make it a lot worse, because if you are struggling with your relationship with food and, you know, you go into a prep and you have to eat a significantly low amount of food, your relationship with food's not going to get better when you are in a scarcity mindset. And then coming out of it, you are more likely to, you know, have those aggressive rebounds that you might see or not see, because people, you know, struggle with that and, you know, don't want to share it. but you are more likely to have those more aggressive rebounds, and you're a lot more likely to, you know, just struggle a lot more coming out of your prep if your mental health before you go into a prep is not in an ideal spot.
Yeah, this is one of those areas too where, I mean, you just have to be like very honest with yourself. Like, I can even speak for myself. Like, everybody knows I have a history of struggling with an eating disorder. I've struggled with restrictive eating. I've struggled with binge eating in the past. And, you know, going into my prep, I was in a very, very good mental space, you know, felt very, very confident in my body, felt very confident in my relationship with food. And I still struggled post show, not necessarily from, you know, you see a lot of people talk about like binging post show, going overboard, rebounding. But for me, a big struggle for me was wanting to eat enough food to put the weight back on. You know, you come from this mindset of fearing food, and you know, you go through all of this work to no longer fear food and just embrace food and embrace weight gain and all of this. But even if you've done all of that work in the past, it can still definitely be a struggle to kind of recognize that like you can't stay stage lean forever. And so the fear of food is something that can be very difficult. And yeah, we see a lot of people rebound with like binge eating, but we also see a lot of people rebound with the whole never really seeming to get healthy again. And I think there is where going back to having a good support system can be so, so, so crucial. Having somebody who can be just straightforward, honest with like, hey, I'm really struggling. I even had like with Hannah, you know, we didn't want her to binge eat post show. So she knows she has me to talk to about if she's having any feelings to binge. And she also, you know, we had her be super honest with her boyfriend and tell him like, hey, I'm nervous that post show, I may potentially fall back into binge eating. I need you to know this, and kind of look out for me. So having the support system is important, but if you are already struggling currently, I promise you it is going to be so difficult for you to get through the prep and to come out of the prep. I mean, I've known people who've never struggled with their relationship with food or their body before ever who end up binge eating in prep. You know, they've never binge ate before in their life.
Prep is it's very, very hard on your body mentally and physically. And, you know, when you have this like big, big goal right in front of you, you know, you kind of just block out everything else because you're in like super tunnel vision. And then, you know, once that goal is taken away, everything kind of just hits you all at once, and everybody has different experiences. Like Chelsea said, some people struggle with overeating, some people struggle with eating enough. But either or, it's still a struggle with your relationship with food, your body, exercise. And if that isn't something that you take care of before you go into a prep, like we said before, it's not going to get better in prep.
No. You know, if you are somebody who already feels like you need to like earn your food, or you need to like exercise to, you know, be able to eat, or you need to do like extra cardio to burn off calories, like you are going to struggle so much with breaking that mindset or not letting it get worse. Like post show, you're literally going to struggle so much with adding more food and removing cardio with the actual literal goal of gaining weight. Like that is going to be so difficult for you if you're already not in a good place. So just something to definitely be mindful of. I see a lot of, unfortunately, I do see a lot of people coming from eating disordered histories who become very, very passionate about bodybuilding. And I think it's important to just be kind of realistic with yourself. Like, are you being passionate suddenly about this sport because it's kind of a socially accepted way to stay in your disorder? Or do you actually love the sport of bodybuilding? Because they're not the same thing. And yeah, your goal for with competing should not just be, I want to get stage lean. You need to have a bigger goal than just wanting to see what your body looks like shredded.
Yeah, because if that's your only goal, then it's going to be real, real hard to push through those harder days and, you know, continue to honestly just continue to go through a prep.
Yeah. Nick even said to me, when I was in prep, you know, whenever we got to like the suck phase of my prep, he literally said like, hey, I know. Cause I told him, going into my prep, I was like, my mental health number one for me. If I start to really struggle at all, I'm pulling out of prep. Like it just wasn't worth it to me to risk everything. I had literally spent 10 years of my life building up, you know? And he even said to me, he said, hey, you're probably going to start thinking about food a little bit more, but it's a literal, it's a physiological need. You know, your body is so hungry that it's going to crave highly palatable foods. Something I like to tell my clients whenever they're struggling with hunger, and so this kind of applies here too, is if your body craved broccoli and, you know, fruits and veggies, it's not going to get a bunch of calories. So if your body is in that starvation, like it's truly starving, it's going to crave really high calorie foods, because it knows if it craves that, you're going to immediately, you eat one cookie, you're getting more calories than you would if you ate three bowls of broccoli. So your body's going to crave whatever's going to get it the most energy the fastest. So you're going to crave, bro, I don't ever eat cookies. I craved cookies so bad in my prep. I didn't even really crave them. I scrolled through Instagram wanting to look at cookies. And I'm like, I didn't even need a cookie post show. I didn't even want cookies. It's just, that's what my body was telling me that I wanted, because it just wanted calories, you know?
Yeah. It just wants something that's higher calorie, higher palatability to get you calories as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, it doesn't starve.
Yeah. So just make sure that you're in a good mental space. And I think, honestly, just being, again, going back to having a coach, be honest with your freaking coach about where you're at mentally. And, you know, a lot of times we're very, very introspective and very, very good at reading you. I can tell you when my clients are not in a good mental space to start a prep and when they are, you know, so let your coach, don't take it as like your coach being an asshole if they're like, hey, I don't know if you're like ready for this. Take it as them like literally looking out for you, because a lot of times I hope all the time that's what it is.
Yeah. Your coach should be there to help you, not just, you know, put you through a prep just so that they can get bodies on stage and then, you know, you're trashed after the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a full podcast about good coaches.
Yeah, we will too. We have so much content.
So much content.
The next one, I think it's kind of a quick and easy one, is what does your life look like? I don't think people really realize how time consuming prep is, but you know, towards the end of prep, there's a good chance you're, you know, at the gym 2-3 times a week. And we even answered that question last week. Someone asked, you know, do you have to go to the gym 3 times a week? And sometimes maybe if you have to do the extra cardio. So does your life even allow for you to spend potentially 2-3 more hours at the gym per day? Because if not, I don't know how you're going to do it.
Yeah. And like, if you are in a position where you just have a lot of life stressors going on, like maybe you are, you know, moving. I know some people can prep during a move, but it's like also just a lot on, it's going to be a lot more stressful. Because like Chelsea said, with prep, you have, towards the end, it is going to get more time consuming, not even just with cardio and training, but also, you know, prepping your food, with posing, with grocery shopping, with sleeping more because you're more tired. It does take up a significant amount of your time, and time management is going to be huge when you're in a prep. So, you know, if you don't have the time management skills, then you got to learn real quickly to manage your time better. But yeah, just making sure that your current life situation is in a good spot for you to prep without it adding more stress to your life.
Yeah, because stress mitigation is super important. And I just also want to like kind of exaggerate the fact that like, you really can't just give up all of your sleep either to make time for all of this. You know, I know people are probably thinking like, okay, well, I have a lot going on, but it's fine because I can just sleep like 4 hours a night and just make it work. No, you can't, because your body will not, you won't make it through the prep if you're sleeping 4 hours a night, and your body will look like shit if you are, and you will lose a lot of muscle tissue and you will not win your show to be completely blunt. Has to be time is not taking away from that sleep or stress management.
Yeah. Even like with 2 sessions of cardio and training, I still aim to get, you know, 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night, because I know if I don't, I'm not going to be able to do the cardio and the training and my work and meal prepping and, you know, having time to hang out with my friends and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And doing all of those things well too, you know, it's not just a matter of checking off the box of going to the gym. Like, no, you have to go to the gym and bring your 100% every time you go to the gym. You have to go and do your cardio and bring your 100% every time you do your cardio. You can't just like, you know, check it off a box and get it done at, you know, half-assed capacity. And I just feel like if you're going to compete, your goal should be to do the best that you can and win the show, right?
Yeah. And in order to do that, you got to be as recovered as you can be, because recovery capacity does go down when you're, you know, not eating a lot of food, because food helps with recovery. So if you're not eating a lot of food, your recovery capacity is going to be a little bit lower. When you're doing more cardio, your recovery capacity is going to be a bit lower. So sleep is going to be your best friend.
Yeah. So you have enough time to actually do this, because you might not.
Yeah. So.
The next big one is, are you financially ready to compete? Competing is not cheap at all. And there's a lot of little things that you probably aren't thinking of. Like, we all know the bikini is expensive. Okay. If you're a guy, you're lucky. John gets his freaking suit from Walmart. Must be nice. We have to buy $600, $700 bikinis. You know, if you want to get it customized, it might be $800 or $900. Then you got to buy the heels. You know, those are a solid, you know, $70, $80. You know, then you've got to buy the jewelry. We have to pay to get our hair done. You have to get paid to get your tan done, your makeup done. And that's just show stuff.
You have the show fee. You have the actual show fee. If you're doing multiple classes, that's going to be more. If you're competing in the NPC, you have to have your NPC card to just compete regularly. If you're staying in a hotel, you have to pay for the hotel, travel. If you're flying, you know, pay for the ticket. If you're driving, you got to pay for gas. If you know, groceries, that's kind of just like a normal everyday thing. But, you know, in prep, you go through a lot of protein, so you're going to be you're going to be spending some more money on that.
And that's
national shows are going to be even more expensive. So if you're doing multiple shows, you got to multiply that, all of that again, minus the suit and the heels, because obviously you could reuse those. But still, those are just expensive on their own. So it is easily like upwards of $2,000 for a single show.
And then throw in the fact that you need to, hopefully you had a coach through an off season, a coach through your prep, which I mean, that could run you anywhere from $300 to $500 a month, you know, for a regular, that's pretty general, you know, pricing for coaching anymore. Usually more towards the like $400 to $500 range per month. Okay. And then posing coaches, I mean, I'd recommend at least getting a few posing sessions. And that usually is what are posing coaches like?
It's like
$10 a minute or 10 minutes, right? So it's like $30 for a 30-minute session type of thing.
Yeah, it's like anywhere. Maybe more. Depending on like the prestige, I would say, of the coach, it can be like $30 to like $50 a session. Some of them even more. So if you're working with like a very well-renowned IFBB pro, they're probably going to be more expensive, but they're also, you get what you pay for. So, you know, if you have that more prestigious coach, you're going to, you know, get more prestigious coaching.
So, I mean, it's definitely not a cheap sport, and, you know, are ways that you can kind of, you know, cut corners a little bit. You know, you can buy cheaper heels. They have cheaper heels on Amazon that are just fine. You can definitely do that. You can buy used suits, which can save you a little bit. I think you can get used suits for like
So you can rent a suit as well.
Yeah. You can do your own tan. You can do your own makeup, your own hair. However, you're taking a risk with those.
You can do your own nails. That's an easy one.
Yeah. You can do your own nails. You can do a lot of this stuff yourself and save money. But at the end of the day, you can't avoid the fact that it's going to still cost you a pretty penny to compete. It's not free, you know, and you're not, people think like, oh, well, if I win the show, I'll win the money. You don't win money unless you're a pro. So
you get a trophy or a sword.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's awesome to get a freaking,
no, it's definitely awesome, but don't go into prep if you know it's going to literally bankrupt you.
Yeah. Not like, worth if it. You have $2,000 in your savings account, wait, no. Don't prep right now. Please don't spend your life savings on one single competition. You know, there's no timeline here. Like you could prep in a year or 2 years or 3 years when you're more financially sound. And to be honest, you'll probably do better because you'll have more muscle.
Yeah. And, you know, just having that stress of, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to afford this? Am I going to be able to afford this? That stress is going to hurt your body. So you're probably not going to do as well as you want to if you are, you know, don't have the funds to support you through the prep.
Yeah. So that's a very important factor. And honestly, the last one that we've kind of touched on a few times, you know, because it really does trickle into everything about like, you have to have a good why. You can't just be competing because you want to get lean, you know, taking your body to that level of extreme and putting your health at risk just because you think that it's going to look cool on Instagram, or you're doing it for clout, or you're doing it to look good in a bikini. It's just not worth the mental and physical demand, and you probably aren't going to make it through. And if you do, you're probably going to have a lot of damage done for what, you know, you have to want it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with competing. I plan to compete again. Celeste is competing. We love competing. I prep people for competing, but you have to actually want to do it, not just because you think you're supposed to, or it's the like next step that you feel like you have to take.
Yeah. You don't have to compete to, you know, be fitness, right? You can, there's so many other outlets to fitness that you can do that are not competing. But
to be honest, you're in your best shape when you're not in prep. Like nobody's in their best physical shape in prep.
Yeah. No one's in their best physical shape. No one's in their best health state.
No.
Well, prep is like, it's like categorized as like fitness and health, but it's like the least healthy fitness health aspect that there is in this industry. And you have to have a deeper why. You have to have a deeper drive, or else, you know, those days that you don't want to do your cardio, those days you don't want to hit your macros or your meal plan, those days that you are excessively tired, right? Pushing through those harder days, it's gonna be a lot harder if your only why is to, you know, get clout, or your only why is to get lean, right? Do not compete if your only goal is to get lean, because there are a million other ways that you can get lean that's not competing.
You're not going to be able to maintain it anyways. Like, it's just kind of a pointless goal, because sure, you could get that lean, but for what? Just to end up not that lean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to do that. And it's really not, like, mentally, when you get that lean, it's wild what normal levels of lean now feel like to you. Like, I'm still, nobody looks at me and thinks I'm fat. Everybody looks at me and thinks that I'm a lean person. But because I've seen how lean I can be, I don't feel like I'm that lean, which is crazy.
It's completely, once you get that lean, that becomes like your new standard of leanness. And
now you know what your body can do.
But just because that is what you needed for the stage doesn't mean that it is healthy or normal to be that lean, because it's not.
Mm-hmm. So know your why.
Know your
why. Have a strong why. And honestly, if your why is anything other than you want to compete and you want to win, then I probably wouldn't do it, to be honest. Don't do it.
It's not worth it.
So I think that's kind of all we have for this specific episode, but our next episode, we'll kind of talk about both the coach and the athlete perspectives and point of views of prep, and just how everything is handled, how the relationship goes. So if you guys have any questions about that or any other, you know, topics you want us to cover, please let us know.
Yeah, we are very excited about this series. It's been, we've only done 2 episodes and it's already super exciting. But as you can tell, there's just a lot that we can talk about in regards to prep from just so many different angles and outlooks. So we are excited to continue on this series. But as always, if you enjoyed listening to us talk, leave us a rating and review. We love reading your reviews. And the more ratings that we get, the more that we can grow this little podcast of ours, reach more people, provide more value to those out there. And that's our goal with this podcast. So please make sure, leave us a kind rating, tag us on your Instagram stories so that we can see them. And personally, thank you guys. We love seeing you guys listen. It makes our day.
So see you next time.
Bye. Bye, guys.